A meeting will take place in Washington, D.C. today, chaired by President Donald Trump, to discuss a post-war Gaza. Now, a post-war Gaza feels very far away from the people living there. They are being killed from the skies every day. They're being shot at as they walk and queue for food to bring home to their famine-ravaged children. More than 62,000 of them have been killed since October 2023. The families of Israeli hostages still being held by Hamas must surely think that for every day this war goes on, there is a greater likelihood that their loved ones will never come home alive. Tens of thousands of Israelis have been protesting across cities since the weekend, calling on Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to end the war and to bring the remaining hostages home. One of those joining these rallies was our next guest, Ofer Kassif, who's a member of the Israeli Parliament representing the Hadash Tal Party. Dr. Kassif, you're very welcome to Morning Ireland. Thanks for taking our call. Good morning to you. The protests Thank you. Over the last number of days, were they for the hostages or were they for the Palestinians who are being bombed and starved, as we've been seeing over the last number of months in Gaza?
Those demonstrations, which consist of hundreds of thousands rather than tens of thousands, as well as was said before, consist of different elements. So some of them, unfortunately, only talk and mention the fate of the Israeli hostages and soldiers, which we do care for as well, but quite ignore the fate of the millions of Palestinians who've been persecuted and massacred and butchered and starved for almost 2 years in Gaza. But there are also another elements, which I'm proud to be part of it, of them, which talk and emphasize the lot of the Palestinians in Gaza alongside the one of the Israeli hostages. So it's quite heterogeneous.
It was noted by some journalists that the day of disruption, so-called yesterday, across cities in Israel was smaller than some of the protests earlier, certainly over the weekend and previously as well. Would you say a majority of Israelis still support what Benjamin Netanyahu is doing in Gaza?
It's very hard to tell because, according to the polls, about more than 70% of the Israeli public oppose the government in general and the ongoing so-called war, as they call it, in Gaza in particular. But as I said before, still the majority among those who oppose the what I prefer to call the genocide in Gaza do it because of their intention or because of their view regarding and feelings regarding the Israeli hostages, less so because of the fate, terrible fate of the Palestinians. So as I said before, there are different elements. Mm-hmm. Among those 70 or 75% of Israelis who oppose the continuation of the attack on Gaza, there are also, like us, and we are thousands, many thousands, who oppose the genocide.
The words on some of the banners at the protest said, "Never again." What do those words mean to you?
Well, I just, you know, probably an article I wrote was just recently published at The Guardian, the English Guardian, and I refer to that there. You know, the slogan Never Again was coined after the Jewish Holocaust. And there are two interpretations. One is the universal humanistic one, which I endorse, and say never again to anyone and anywhere. There is the alternative, unfortunately, which seems to be stronger nowadays in Israel, which means never again to us, that is to say to the Jewish people. And even if it comes at the cost of others, which obviously I totally reject. So for me, the meaning must be a universal humanistic one, that we, and by we I mean human beings at large, must do whatever possible to prevent any kind of genocide or any other war crimes and crimes against humanity anywhere and to anyone, because we are all human beings. That's the basic message for me.
Israel, of course, rejects that term genocide, and you have been banned from the Knesset for using it. And other parliamentarians have called your criticism in the aftermath of the October 7th attacks by Hamas as treasonous, saying that, quote, words can no longer be heard while the blood of our soldiers and citizens scream from the ground. How do you respond to that accusation of treason?
Look, first of all, I do not need any preaching from anyone from the right wing, specifically from fascist thugs in particular. I need no, preach from them. We, my comrades and I, condemn the massacre committed by Hamas from the very beginning, from the first second we realized what happened. Some of the victims were also our supporters. I lost a few friends, one of them a very dear close friends to mine, who wrote to me a WhatsApp minutes before she was murdered with her husband in the security room. So I need no one to tell me how to mourn or how to condemn totally the massacre committed by Hamas. I said immediately that even the crimes that Israel is guilty of, since the Nakba, the persecution of the Palestinians, the massacre, the dispossession, etc., cannot justify the sadistic, terrible crime that Hamas committed. Nothing can justify that. I added to that that even the massacre committed by Hamas cannot justify the genocide committed by Israel. So the conclusion is that those who accuse me in treason do not really care about the well-being of the Israelis. They only care about revenge and the blood of the Palestinians. If that is the definition of treason, to care about the well-being and lives of any human being, and that's my humanistic convictions, if that is considered as a treason, so then I'm proud to be one, to be a traitor. But obviously it's a lie, because the interest of the of Israel, as well as of the Palestinians, is a humanistic one. Mm-hmm. To end the genocide and to liberate the Palestinian people from the vicious ongoing occupation and achieving a just peace. That's the interest of Israel too. And you know that in history, and that's my last sentence, forgive me for being so long. In history, authoritarian regimes always accused those who criticized them and fought for the well-being of human beings, especially of minorities, always accuse them in treason. So I guess that I just joined a very respected club.
Just a final thought from you, because you do plead with the British government to take action here. They are a big supplier of weapons to Israel. The Keir Starmer's government has stopped many arms exports to Israel. It has ended trade talks. He has indicated they would uphold an International Court of Justice arrest warrant for Benjamin Netanyahu, and he has imposed sanctions on some of his more extreme ministers. Isn't the reality, though, that it is only Donald Trump who can stop this war?
I don't think that it's only Donald Trump, but obviously, unfortunately, the United States is still the dominant superpower. I don't like that fact, but this is a fact at the moment. So without the international community intervention to put more pressure on the Israeli government and mainly the American administration, I'm afraid that we are doomed. And when I say we are doomed, I refer to both the Palestinian people and the Israeli hostages. Everybody should be liberated.
Thank you very much indeed for joining us on Morning Ireland. That's Dr. Ofer Kassif, who's a member of the Israeli Parliament representing the Hadash Tal Party. It's 8:24.